Was the New York Times Inside Amazon story fair? The story was subtitled Wrestling Big Ideas in a Bruising Workplace, but what's gotten the most attention is the bruising workplace. Now the New York Times public editor, Margaret Sullivan, has weighed in. She writes that the story in her own paper was, quote, driven less by irrefutable proof than by generalization and anecdote. For such a damning result presented with so much drama, that doesn't seem quite enough, end quote. So what should we make of the story and the Times' self-criticism? Kelly McBride is media ethicist at the Poynter Institute. Thanks for joining us, Kelly.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So what do you think, first of all, about the story and then what the public editor at the Times had to say about it?
So I was really interested in the story. I caught wind of it as soon as it went online and was really interested in how viral the story went. And I actually think that has more to do with the broader issues that we're wrestling with in society around boundaries and work and what it means to be successful and what digital innovations have brought to our ability to stretch the boundaries of work and home than Amazon itself or the New York Times's position on Amazon or its reporting on Amazon. So I was really interested in that. And then I thought that Margaret Sullivan's criticism of the New York Times' story was a bit unfair, which is really surprising because I usually agree with her 100% with almost everything she says. But I actually felt like she was a little unfair, and that's because I feel like I have a sense, based on a lot of things that were signals in the story from the New York Times, that it really was an exhaustive, fair piece. And they were trying to be authoritative yet fair. There were lots of signals of that fairness. And so I felt like her criticism of the New York Times' reporting was a bit unfair itself.
Now, Jeff Bezos, responding to this article, said he didn't recognize the Amazon that it portrayed. He seemed to take the idea that these were isolated incidents that had never risen on the radar to him. What do we make about his response?
Well, so there's been a lot written about Jeff Bezos and his leadership style. I actually thought that rung a little hollow because his leadership style is pretty well documented as being very edgy, maybe even a bit brutal. So I thought that rang a little hollow. The New York Times in their piece interviewed people from Amazon who were named, who said, you know, I appreciate the intensity of the culture. So they didn't say that everybody's experience of Amazon is this brutal experience. They just said that there's a trend here.
How do you come from an anecdote or a single incident to a trend? I mean, the criticism by the Times' own public editor was that it was driven less by irrefutable proof than by generalization and anecdote. At what point does generalization and anecdote become irrefutable proof?
Well, that's controversial in journalism. I mean, 100 interviews, I think that's a lot. And the consistency of the stories that came up, I think that's a lot. And then the fact that you have people willing to go on the record. So, you know, there is no definitive tipping point on when you go from anecdote to trend, but I felt like the Times had enough to get it over that line.
The New York Times public editor, Margaret Sullivan, also said the story didn't give enough context, and without that context, it's hard to know how different Amazon is from other tech companies. What do you think of that criticism?
Well, I actually think that the context was what made it so interesting, is that lots of tech companies are having these conversations. And, you know, there's in digital startups in media alone, there are unionization efforts at lots of these digital startups because it's such a brutal workplace. So I thought that they put it in appropriate context. You know, they compared it to Facebook. And, you know, interestingly enough, the Seattle Times wrote a piece years ago about the brutal culture of Microsoft, which was a startup then. And it was the same sort of conversation. So I felt like the context was there. I mean, I came away from it feeling like there was plenty of context. Now, you guys in Seattle, I mean, you live with Amazon every day, and there may be a completely different experience from an insider's perspective. And so I recognize that this story may resonate differently in Seattle than it does nationally.
Widely varied here. I mean, when we got comments from listeners who said they'd worked at Microsoft, some agreed with the premise of the article that it was a brutal work situation. Others said it was the best place they ever worked and it made them better people. But how do we, as civilians, read a news article like that New York Times article? It's driven by powerful stories and powerful anecdotes that really sway our emotions. But if we want to read it carefully and consider its fairness, what should we be considering when we read a story like that?
Well, I think you want to look for the breadth of the reporting. How many people did they interview? Do they signal that? Is everybody reflected in the story, or are there other interviews behind the story that don't necessarily show up? I think you want to look for a contrary opinion. You want to look for someone who says, my experience is different. And I think you want to look for a response from the company. If there's any mistake that the reporters in the New York Times may have made, and I don't know if they did this or not, but it may be that they didn't convey to Amazon when they were seeking Amazon's official response to this culture that appears to be a story that Amazon employees tell about their experience working there. If there's anything that the reporters didn't do, it was in conveying the tone that the story was going to take. And they should have done that in order to give Amazon an absolutely fair chance at responding. And I'm not sure that they did, because when you look at Amazon's responses, they're to very specific incidents, but Amazon never has a response in the story to the overall sense of the culture. And I don't know if that's a structural problem with the story, or if Amazon knew that that's what the story was about. That's just not clear.
Kelly, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Kelly McBride, media ethicist at the Poynter Institute. This is The Record on KUOW.